the voice you trust for the family you love.
Shirley can tap dance. I was so blown away, I said, will you marry me? The younger generation does not know the things I said in there. Watch them in restaurants and see how they handle their kids. They don't have a clue.
I would not be doing this if I did not feel the hand of God in my back.
This is Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Luann Crane.
Doctor, I am so excited to get to the discussion that we have planned for today. But before we get there, I think I better warn folks that your voice is a little lost today.
Well, it sounds strange, I'm sure. I have laryngitis, but also have overworked my voice. I've done about 50 radio interviews on my book, Bringing Up Girls, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, and it's taken the measure of me. I want everybody to know I'm not sick. I may sound like I am, but the voice is just odd for a while, but I'm told that this is very temporary, and a little prednisone should help, I think.
Well, we sure thank you for your sacrifice. I imagine a lot of our listeners have heard some of those interviews you've done. Stay tuned. We're in for some more, but here we are on the first day of our second week on the air, and just thinking about being on the air reminds me there are several people you wanted to thank.
Well, there's something miraculous about what's happening here, Luann, because as you know, 2 months ago, when I left Focus on the Family and felt that the Lord was leading me to start a new ministry, we had almost no resources on which to build. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a building. We didn't have recording equipment. We didn't even have a staff. Shirley and I were moving in this direction because we thought that's what the Lord was calling us to do. And that's where Family Talk came from. And in that short period of time, wonderful things are happening here. There's electricity in the halls here.
There's a lot of excitement.
And then we also needed, as I said, a lot of things, including financial resources. Shirley and I took some money out of retirement to get us started, and that was kind of the seed money. And we're still missing a lot of those things that we need, primarily a studio.
That's right. If people
could see us now, we're in a little office and sound deadening panels around us. And if there's anybody out there who would like to help us get our studio built, that would be very helpful. But we're getting there, and it has been a wonderful journey.
We are thankful for our little walk-in closet here that we call our studio. And apparently this is the largest launch of a Christian radio outreach in history. I'm sure people are wondering how in the world this came together so quickly.
Luann, I really don't know. I'm not kidding. I just look back on it and say, how did this happen? But I can tell you that there are many people that have helped to make it possible, including, and maybe at the top of the list, the Christian radio station managers and the owners of those stations that have made it possible for us to do this. We rolled the program out last Monday on more than 500 outlets, 500 facilities. There are a lot of people out there, and we're just getting started, and there are new stations coming on all the time. I want to thank the Salem broadcast people for what they did, and the Bot Radio Network for what they did, and American Family Radio for their contribution, and for the independent Christian radio stations that are out there. Many people stepped up to the plate and gave us a hand, and I see that, speaking of a hand, I see that as the hand of the Lord who made it possible, and it is really fun being here.
Well, there is no way humanly we all realize that this could have happened. It is only by the hand of God.
And there's somebody else that I want to thank, and I mean, I do this almost with a tear in my eye. In 1979, the Ambassador Advertising Agency, which represents programs like ours, came alongside me to help. I mean, there wasn't a big team then either. And Al Sanders and his son-in-law, John Campbell, came to see me. Mm-hmm. And they said, we know that you don't have the money to pay for our services, but we're going to cut our fee and we're going to make it possible for you to do that. Mm-hmm. And we're going to put this radio program everywhere. They believed in me. And now that was 1979, Luann, and you know what happened.
Yes.
I mean, it just exploded. Well, they've done it again. Mm-hmm. Ambassador Advertising Agency, now led by Peggy Campbell, mm-hmm. and her brother Jim Sanders, who is the son of Al Sanders, who's still very much involved in what we're doing, have really made it possible for us to be heard as broadly as we are today. Mm-hmm. They are wonderful people. They're great friends. They made a big sacrifice to get us started again. And I have a lump in my throat. I really do.
Well, we sure have all come to love them in the past several weeks, Doctor. But I really have to mention something before we get going. I am missing my colleague here. And I think you need to explain why your son is in prison right now.
Ryan is in prison, but for Pete's sake, don't go tell the world that. He has gone down to the Angola State Prison in Louisiana to minister to prisoners.
Oh, that's great.
Ryan is an ordained minister, and he has a great heart for the gospel. And he got an opportunity to go down there and talk to these prisoners and share with them and tell them about Jesus. And I'm very proud of him for doing that. But that's why he is not with us today and will not be tomorrow. But he'll be back on Wednesday of this week. And I'm really anxious to hear his stories of what happened while he was down
there. Yes, we are too. Now, we finally get to turn a corner and address your brand new book, Bringing Up Girls, which is flying off the shelves in both the secular and the Christian bookstores. It was released April 13th, a few weeks ago. It must be so gratifying to see that kind of response you're getting to this labor of love.
It was a labor of love because I really enjoy writing. It's the creative process. Some people see writing as very, very hard work, and in a sense it is when you get into all the research and everything you're trying to manage. But for me, writing is like an artist who goes out into the park and he sets up an easel and he paints there. He's not working. He's loving that creative process. I love that too. And for me, it's the process of starting with a blank page and putting your thoughts and ideas down and trying to weave them together. I really do think that's a lot of fun.
Well, I sure think you hit the target after all of that work, because the book is already on the New York Times bestsellers list in the advice section. Amazon had it listed, I think, 16 out of about 50,000 books just several days after it came out. It's really off to a fast start. It reminds me, Doctor, of one woman who was in here just recently who said she read the entire 285 pages in about 3.5 hours. And I know many of us who tried to contact you for the past 3.5 years kept being told that you were sequestered. You were literally away. So please, why did it take you so long to write this book?
Well, I've said in other interviews that I had about 3,500 pages of research and reference material.
Wow.
There is so much there. Child development is my field. That's where I did my work at USC. And years have passed since then, so I had to catch up with what's going on now. And there's just wonderful information coming out about boys and girls that fascinated me. So I needed to get back into the mainstream of the ideas that are coming out now and what's happening, my own observations and my own experience as a parent. There are 22 chapters in this book. Every one of them is kind of a monograph, which deals with a different aspect of these complex little creatures called girls. Hopefully all of those 22 chapters move in a straight line and they're connected. One leads to the other, but they do deal with very different things.
Well, I was one of those complex little creatures that you referred to. Now, give us an idea of what some of these concepts are. Obviously, over the next few weeks and months, we are going to be delving specifically into some of them. But give us an overview of what's in this.
Well, I won't read them all, but let me just give you some of them so you get a flavor for it. The first chapter deals with the wonderful world of girls and what's going on with girls today. Second chapter is Girls in Peril. What's happening in the culture? What are the influences that are on them? And I'm very, very concerned about girls at that point. Now, the third chapter is called The Fair Sex. Yeah. What are those characteristics that make girls different from boys? And what did God do when he created not one sex, but he created two? The fourth chapter deals with why she is who she is, and it deals with the physiological, neurological, and hormonal differences between boys and girls, and especially the female brain. Chapter 5 is teaching girls to be ladies.
Oh, yes.
That's a subject we must talk about because the younger generation is being taught, girls too, to be crude and rude and profane, and parents really need to counter those influences and those messages. I'm going to hurry on. Girls and their mothers, young women talk about their fathers, why daddies matter. Mm. The obsession with beauty, good news about girls is not all
good.
Negative. There's a lot of good news there. Puberty and adolescence. And chapter 19 deals with bullies, buddies, and best friends. That's a very important chapter.
Something we will definitely be covering.
Yeah, no question about it. And to 21, protecting your daughter from invasive technology. And then the final chapter, chapter number 22, is the last word, I call it. And it deals with the spiritual development of your girls. Mm. And that's the most important chapter in the book.
And a great way to tie it up. It really is a journey as you meander through these various topics and the complex ways you've described us as women. Doctor, I know personally, if I can just say, when I completed reading the manuscript, which I had the privilege of reading, I just had this sense that you had restored dignity to me as a woman. And I just felt like you had brought back femininity, strength, honor, and dignity to women. So I just personally wanted to thank you for that.
Well, you know, Luann, that comment means a lot to me because that's one of the things I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. We've lost something. Masculinity has been invaded. That's what I tried to write about in Bringing Up Boys. I mean, the culture has had a very deleterious impact on boys, and it's done the same thing to girls. We've confused what it means to be male and female at any age, and I was attempting to go back to the biblical model.
Let's harken back to one of those chapters you referred to, Doctor, specifically The Fair Sex. That's a curious title. What were you getting at there?
Well, as I said, that's one of my favorite chapters in the book, and it deals with the fact that God made little girls and little boys delightfully different, and men and women very dramatically different. And for a period of time, our culture decided there were no differences, that it somehow worked to the disadvantage of women to be female, as though somehow that's inferior. But that is dead wrong. In my book, I described masculinity and femininity. Can I read what I said there? I said a male has up to 20 times more testosterone than a female, which is why his play often involves running, jumping, roughhousing, grabbing hair, making loud noises, playing with cars and trucks and airplanes and tanks. He finds it really funny to pass gas. I talked about the fact that some kids refer to that as an SBD, a silent but deadly. He likes to throw things and fire toy guns, bang, bang, or shoot cucumbers or carrots or anything that looks vaguely like a gun. Testosterone is the driver for it all. It is the reason his mother, who loves him dearly, has her hands full trying to keep him from killing himself. He is a boy, after all. That's what boys do.
And I live with three of them in my house, and you've just described the Crane household.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know that very well.
Okay, because the female brain is not subjected to a comparable surge of testosterone in the womb and beyond, its communicative and emotional centers remain intact. In fact, these structures will grow larger and become better networked neurologically. A girl's corpus callosum, which is the rope of nerve fibers that runs from the left brain to the right brain, is up to 25% larger than a male's, and it becomes an 8-lane superhighway capable of carrying great quantities of emotional information from one side of the brain to the other. For boys, it's a country road. As a result, a girl is likely to be more expressive and emotional than most boys, almost from birth. She'll probably feel things more deeply and respond to subtle cues in her environment that boys are likely to miss. She'll be far better at reading character and motives in others, although she probably won't be able to explain how she does it. She'll also cry more often, even as an adult. Every man knows that, and he's typically rattled by it. She is a girl, after all. That's what girls do. So those are just some basic temperamental differences between the two. But in the fair sex, I talk about this tender, compassionate side of girls that is less evident in boys. I even quoted a couple of songs that get at that, the lyrics. We can't share them all, but one of them goes back to the movie Gigi. And Alan J. Lerner and Frederick Lowe wrote a little song that said, "Thank heaven for little girls, for little girls get bigger every day. Thank heaven for little girls, they grow up in the most delightful way." Now, boys are treasures too. And I spent 3 years talking about boys and what makes them tick. But the female of the species captures our hearts in a different way. It's their sensitivity and their tenderness that's so charming. There's another song with lyrics that I love. This goes clear back to the 1930s. It was written by Irving King and Harry M. Woods, and it's called "Try a Little Tenderness." Mm. Have you ever heard that song?
I haven't, no.
Oh, you haven't? My goodness. You're so young. The lyrics say, "She may be weary. Women do get weary. Wearing the same shabby dress. And when she's weary, try a little tenderness."
Oh, yeah.
"She may be waiting, just anticipating things that she may never possess. And while she's without them, try a little tenderness." You've never heard that?
I'm sorry, but I like it. I like it, and I would agree with
song.
It.
Yeah.
It's amazing what a hug will do for me as a mom.
Yeah, and a woman needs that, and a man needs to understand that. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Little girls need it, too.
They sure do. Now, Doctor, you have admitted in the book that girls are not always sugar and spice and everything nice. In fact, they can be pretty difficult at times.
Well, they can, and I don't want to super romanticize these characteristics. Girls not only possess a compassionate and a gentle spirit, typically, but let's face it, they can be catty and rebellious and downright brutal to their peers. Mm-hmm. All of us as human beings, both males and females, are capable of exhibiting the best and worst of characteristics. And so no one is free from this dark side. Mm-hmm. But there is something about femininity that is softer and gentler and more compassionate. And we need to bring it out in our girls. We ought to give it an opportunity to express itself.
And, Doctor, all of the women listening right now are just smiling and glowing and thinking, "Thank you, that's exactly us." However, I bet there are some dads or some husbands out there going, "I don't get this."
Hey, and I want to tell you, one of them is sitting right here in the studio with us. Steve Ryder is our chief audio engineer, and he's listening to this.
And he has two boys.
Yeah, and I saw him put his finger above his head and do a little circle. In other words, I don't get this at all.
And a lot of men don't. Our producer, who happens to be a female over here, Christine Gibson, is smiling and 100% with you, saying you've hit the nail on the head. But, Doctor, really, for the men listening, how do they connect? I mean, really, they don't understand what you're saying.
Well, they're capable of understanding it. And that's why I wrote about it. I was not just writing for women. I'm writing for dads and fathers, too. And they do need to understand that their girls need something different from them than their boys do. Let me give you an example of it. When our daughter was a little girl, and of course she's now grown, we were taking a car trip one time, and we made many stops along the way. You can be sure of that. And we pulled into a service station one night. It was about 5 o'clock at night. Sun was starting to go down. And while I was pumping gas, a cute little lonely stray dog wiggled up to us and became our friend. And he wanted to go with us. And Danae absolutely loved that little dog. And she wanted to take him with us. And of course, we couldn't do that. We were staying in hotels and motels, and it was hot. And you just can't pick up a stray dog. You don't even know if he's healthy or whatever it is. Besides that, we already had a wonderful dog. So sometimes moms and dads have to do the difficult thing and say no.
Oh, you didn't.
And we did. And so I kind of had to shoo him back a little bit, and I closed the door in order for us to leave. And that little dog was lonely, and he followed us. And as we drove out of the service station and out onto the highway, he was running as fast as he could to catch up with us. He needed a friend. Mm-hmm. You know, he needed a family. And he adopted us, but we didn't adopt him. My daughter was heartbroken. I mean, she wept. She said, "Dad, he's alone back there. Who's going to take care of him tonight? Who's going to feed him? He might get hit on the highway. Go back and get him." And she just wept. She absolutely wept. She was tender to that little dog. Now, I'm a dog lover, too. All of us in our family are dog lovers. But for Danae, it was something different. She was crushed in spirit. And after I wrote that story in my book, I let Danae read it the next day. And I just said, "I just wonder if you remember that." She not only remembered it all those years later, she's still ticked about the fact that I didn't go back and get that dog, because that's the way she's made. Yeah. There's something inside of her that's easily touched and moved by anything that would hurt, whether it be human or just a little dog and an animal. It is why today, Luann, Danae rather regularly goes to nursing homes where older women are 85 or 90 or 95 years of age, and she goes in there to pray with them and hold their hand and show love for them. There is a nature in her that is not so evident in Ryan, although he's a good guy too, and he cares about people too. But there's a femininity in that that we should cultivate. It's a good thing. It's a God-honoring thing, and it was a God-designed thing.
Thank you once again for saying that, because, Doctor, for some reason right now, the culture does not value those kinds of traits anymore.
Well, you know, coming out of the late 60s, and you won't identify with this either, the political climate of the culture in that day began to emphasize only masculine characteristics. And women saw it to their political disadvantage to show any sign of what they saw as weakness or vulnerability. And so that was suppressed, and it still is to a large degree today. And if you just spend time around girls in the middle school years or after, you see them with these masculine characteristics overemphasized and the feminine underemphasized. Please understand, I'm not referring to weakness here. It is not a matter of weakness. Femininity and strength are linked together. and I come from a long line of very, very strong women. That's not what I'm talking about. And I'm certainly not implying that we should roll back the cultural clock and take away from women the independence that they've achieved and the ability to use all the talent that's within them. So that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about preserving basic femininity, and that's what I'm talking about in The Fair Sex.
Well, Doctor, there's a mom listening right now whose middle school daughter is going to walk through that front door dressed masculine, tough, rugged, even a little bit dark, and the mom would love to see some of these feminine traits come through, but she doesn't know how to reach her.
Well, we're out of time, Luann, but I talked about that in the book. The basic thing is that you have to allow her to feel. Hmm. It's okay to feel. Encourage her when she begins to express these things inside of her, the compassion and the kindness and the care and the femininity. You can bring it out. You don't have to necessarily teach it like you were giving a course, but you can give expression to it. And you do that by modeling. Mm-hmm. As a mother, you show her your own compassion and tenderness. We'll talk about that some more next
time. Let's do. And again, your book, Doctor, Bringing Up Girls, can be found at myfamilytalk.com. There's even some information about how people can get an autographed copy of it.
Sounds like a lot of work to me.
It will be. Thanks for doing that. Myfamilytalk.com. Again, if people would like to stand with us as we start up this ministry, they can get information on doing that there, or they can write us. Family Talk, P.O. Box 51010, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80949. We want to hear from you.
And Luann, there's a whole lot more on this subject that we need to talk about. Let's do it next time.
Next time.